want, no. You stop shifting around. You stop giggling. It's a professional work environment.
Oh, don't forget those fucking stickers. Do you know how much grief I'm getting over these?
Wait, let me see if I still have that address list. Wouldn't it be funny if I didn't?
It's got to still be in the OSB thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I do still have the stickers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Shared Brain Cell. I'm not doing that again. That's the fourth time. So that's what you're getting. Hello.
So
you have... No, I haven't introduced you yet. Shut the fuck up. So your classic gag is the second I start talking, you interrupt. So are you going to do it or what?
No.
All right. And this week, as in every week, actually, is me, Fiona, from The Spare Room. And we have Rich Newell off of the Tarantula family.
Hi.
And we have Elle off Plantism.
Hi.
This week we're going to be discussing the hottest topic of the moment. The thing that we've had requested the most by all five of our listeners. I'm joking. No. We are going to discuss this week who is better, who has more friends.
Quick question. Did you say hello and introduce us?
This podcast is going to drive me to suicide.
What?
Can I say that word?
Yeah.
I think so. It's going to drive me to an early grave.
Yeah. What is the nature of this week's podcast?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I imagine some sort of fun debate.
Fun debate. So this week we are going to discuss who has more friends, scorpions or tarantulas, which one is better? So can I just get a one-word answer from you, tarantulas or scorpions?
Isopods.
That's not an option. Tarantulas or scorpions?
Oh, well, tarantulas, obviously.
Right, cool. I'm team tarantula, obviously.
I plead the fifth.
Cool.
Scorpion.
Scorpion. Oh, you're just balancing it out.
No, I just genuinely think they're cooler.
Yeah, okay, fair. We've all got to have opinions.
That's exactly what the debate's about, yeah. So now we'll be talking about why Ellie's wrong.
The next 40 minutes will be dedicated. Yeah. We've actually asked all of our friends.
Yeah. We'll be turning Ellie's mic off.
Yeah. So
Which is so funny considering that I'm not mic'd.
Sadly.
And metaphorically, I mean.
You're going in the bin.
That sounds like you're going to chuck me off the balcony, Rich.
That's where Leah went. That's why we don't have her around anymore.
Yeah.
So, we have asked how many people?
1,400.
1,400 people, if they would give their opinions, their arguments as to why tarantulas and scorpions are the best, respective best. And out of those 1,400 people, how many people responded?
Well, all 1,400, but we've narrowed it down to the finest four people.
And they all happen to be our friends.
They do. They all happen to be friends of the show.
Friends of the show. So before we introduce our guests, who are waiting in the wings somewhere.
Is it Paul McCartney?
Anyway, so you're throwing me off. You asked me to host things and you don't allow me space to host.
Yeah, but that's where we get our enjoyment from. Because it'd be terrible if we were doing it.
Okay, so yes, our guests are waiting in the wings in their respective living rooms, homes, chalets, static homes. You know, like we're inclusive here wherever you live.
Hotel rooms,
cars. Other properties are available. So, Richard.
Hello.
Newell. You said tarantulas. Why do you think tarantulas are better than scorpions?
Reason number one is I just like them more.
That's great.
I've never been bitten by a tarantula.
You've never been snipped by a scorpion?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's all about what you leave out, isn't it? To get to the point.
Right, so basically, your opinion is based off of vibes.
Yeah, yeah. What I'd like to say is I'm just very glad we've got guests that can come on and speak far more informatively and eloquently than I can.
Yeah, it's not hard. Right. Cool. Well, great that we've had that argument from Rich. It's foolproof. Because who can argue with vibes?
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah, no one can argue with vibes.
It's like whiplash. Doctor, no one can tell you don't have whiplash, so there we are. Ellie, scorpions.
Right, scorpions.
If you tell me vibes...
That's it. I don't know the mechanics of scorpions or tarantulas, so it is partially based on vibes, yes.
It's hydronics.
Okay. I don't know the difference between those two things either.
So, right. So
you didn't bring me here for my professional opinion.
This is very true.
You brought
true,
me here
yeah.
for the vibes. Can I speak, please?
Right, okay, yeah, you may speak.
Right.
Okay.
Scorpions.
Yeah.
They glow under UV light.
Nice.
That's cool.
Phosphorescent. They're vicious little fuckers. And they look like tiny land lobsters.
They do.
That they do, yes.
My favourite thing...
And they can't kick tiny hairs at you because they don't have any.
That's
and they carry their babies on their backs like tiny crocodiles.
I love that Ellie's argument was way more detailed than you. You've been keeping for like 5 or 6 years. You were just like, like tarantulas.
I'm literally a melon.
Would you like another crack at it? Or are you happy with your answer?
No, I've got nothing.
I'm coming in with a fresh perspective. It all blends together when you've owned them for as long as you guys have.
I've got nothing left.
Do you want to hear my argument or should
please, I definitely want to hear your argument.
Okay, mine's tarantulas.
Why do you hate me?
Your answer was vibes.
I thought it was quite constructive. There was like 4 good points.
Yeah, yours had none.
Yeah, I had none. That was 4 more points than I had.
All right, listen up, guys. This is why I like tarantulas. So, number one cool fact about tarantulas is although their size has changed, their shape has not changed for millions of years. So, back when the dinosaurs were around, they were fucking massive, but they were essentially the same shape. So, evolutionary, they've got smaller because of predation, but their size is perfect. Their shape is perfect, which I just think is fucking cool. Second thing, if we're comparing them to scorpions, then they're... is more of a variance. So with scorpions, you get big ones or you get small ones. You know, there's not, in my experience, not a great deal of diversity in the behaviour of a scorpion. You get aggressive ones, you get chill ones, but they're all terrestrial, I think. I might be talking out my ass, but you know, with tarantulas, you've got terrestrial, you've got burrowing, you've got arboreals, but then you also have all the species who have colour, like. I've never seen a tarantula that looks like the colours of a T. celadonia, for example, where it's like you're looking at a supernova. It's amazing. And then you get all these incredible behaviours. So you get, like, their threat poses, which, you know, I appreciate scorpions do as well, but it's to me, nowhere near as impressive or intimidating as watching a tarantula, especially, like, when you get, like, an Asian old world and they're pissed, like... You would not go near that thing with the fucking barge pole. Like, it is so intimidating. And then you get all their fun little behaviours. Like, you get little happy dances when they're eating. And you get, like, all their, you know, the little tippy taps and things like this. And then I love things like, you know, where you have, like, carabiner and avicularia when they're walking and they use their front legs as, like, where am I going next? And they're, like, wiggling around in the air. That's so cute. And, yeah, I just find there's a lot more diversity in behaviour with tarantulas and I love them. I think they're great.
Your points were very similar to mine.
They weren't.
Yeah.
I can imagine, though, that they are, in your brain, probably very similar.
That was very compelling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we ask a guest what they think?
Who's first in the queue?
Who are we going to start with? Are we going to start with a scorpion or a tarantula?
I think because I've just prattled on about tarantulas, let's go scorpion.
Okay, dokie. In that case, then, it is Nelly of weird.wild.nelly on Team Scorpion.
Hello.
Hey. Okay, right. So we want to hear from you why Team Scorpion is the one. Why they are better than tarantulas. Let's go.
Hello. So let's get into it then. Main thing that really attracted me to having a scorpion as a pet, when I was doing research into all different invertebrates that you could own as a pet, initially I was not looking for a scorpion, but I kept seeing videos and images of them fluorescing under ultraviolet light and was just amazed at how cool that was. And after a little bit of research, I found out it's because of the hyaline layer in their exoskeleton. So when you shine that light on them, they glow this absolutely beautiful blue-green colour. The thing is, scientists aren't really sure what evolutionary advantage that has for the scorpions, even though they've got their theories. But in the meantime, I think it's really cool. Really handy as well, like spotting them in the wild if you take out an ultraviolet light or a torch or something with you. So yeah, that's really cool. Also really handy at seeing the scorpions that are dark against dark substrate or when they're hidden inside caves or hides. So yeah, really cool little feature. So yeah, another thing I absolutely really loved when I was doing my research is that scorpions are one of the oldest known arthropod groups, and they've been around since the dinosaurs, which is really cool. And as mentioned earlier about scorpions fluorescing under UV light, fossilized scorpions still retain the ability to fluoresce. So I think that's pretty awesome. Scorpions can survive in water for approximately 48 hours by breathing through their exoskeletons. I mean, that's just, so cool. They're not great swimmers, though. So they do fall into a swimming pool. They really do try to seek refuge in the pool filter. But other than that, I think that's actually such a cool thing that evolution has given them the ability to survive in bodies of water for up to two whole days. I suppose it depends on the size of the scorpion and the species, but still, super cool survival tactic. One advantage that scorpions have over tarantulas is the two lines of attack or defense. So tarantulas obviously just have their fangs, and yes, they are really fast, but scorpions have their telson or their stinger, and they have their pincers. So they can grab things and then sting them, or they can just grab things. So yeah, I think that's really quite a cool fact. I mean, if this was Robot Wars, obviously you're going to vote for the robot that's got something to grab you and stab you over the one that's just going to be a little bit fast and a bit bitey. Okay, so this next fact is one of my favourites. It's super cute the way they do their mating ritual. It looks like a dance, like a little tango. So the male grabs the female's pincers and he moves her around. That can go on for like hours as well. But then they've also been known to bump their tails together, which is also known as clubbing. So yeah, scorpions clearly love a good dance floor. Also, they produce live young and carry them around until their first molt. The newborn babies don't fluoresce until they've had their first molt. So when my own scorpion Jinx had babies, she had dug a huge tunnel in her terrarium, and I was putting the UV torch in there and I couldn't see anything. I could just see the odd leg or pincer moving, and I thought, you know, she's quite fine, the food was disappearing, all is good. And then yeah, they had their first molt, I've put the UV torch in there, and suddenly there's 21 babies running around. I think I got some grey hairs. But ultimately, really cool that they carry them around, they protect them with their stinger, and in some cases they've been known to even catch food and help feed the babies as well, which I think is really cool. So the medical world has jumped on board with how cool scorpions are. Toxins in scorpion venom have already been proven to be a source of medical biomimicry. So for example, the Death Stalker venom includes chlorotoxin, which has inspired new methods for diagnosing and treating certain cancers. And the venom from the lesser Asian scorpion has antimicrobial peptides that might be effective against many different bacteria and fungi, as well as the malaria parasite, along with anti-inflammatory properties that could make effective treatment for things like arthritis. And other scorpion compounds have also shown promise as immunosuppressants for treatment of autoimmune disorders. So ultimately, they are going to be helping in the medical sense, and a lot of people could benefit from them. One of my favourite species of scorpion is the Opisthophthalmus glabrophons. It's a shiny burrowing scorpion. It's mostly found in southern African areas, and honestly, it is beautiful in its colour. Most people, when they think of a scorpion, they think of a big black scorpion, or they think of the little skinny yellow scorpion in the desert. This one is the most gorgeous amber oranges. Sometimes I want more on the brown side of things, other times a bit more yellow, but mostly that earthy colour. And it's absolutely amazing in the sense that it can dig burrows that are a metre deep and sometimes deeper. They use their pincers to block the entrance as well, which is quite cool. And they also exhibit stridulation, so hissing sounds by rubbing their chelicerae together. And an honourable mention is also the Hottentotter, just because it's so fun to say. Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, go Team Scorpion. Woohoo!
Loved hearing about that. But obviously we have to stay impartial as professional debate listeners.
Yeah.
So next up is going to be tarantulas, and that is going to be
MZ invert underscore T underscore party.
MZ, right, let's go, MZ, let's hear from you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me again on the podcast. I'm super excited to be here. If I had to pick between T's or scorpions, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go for Team Tarantula. So I just think there's a lot of reasons for this, although that's not to say that I don't like scorpions. But for me, one of the big attractions really is the amount of variety in tarantulas that you can get. So, for example, you get arboreal tarantulas, fossorial, terrestrial. So even just there, you've got a lot of different behaviours and a lot of different locations. And with that as well, you get a lot more colours and body types. And to me, that's really, really fascinating. Like, an arboreal tarantula will behave much more differently to a fossorial or terrestrial. Another big one as well, of course, is the colours, which I briefly touched on. So just the fact that you can literally get a purple tarantula, like the Formictus species Dominican purple, they are absolutely stunning and genuinely look like someone has like painted them with iridescent paint. The P. metallica as well, like they are so stunningly blue with like little yellow highlights and the white. It just absolutely blows my mind that they can have these beautiful, bright colours. So for me, that's a really, really big attraction. I think part of that as well is maybe, obviously, my sort of fascination with nature. But because I'm also an artist and love to draw and paint, I'm quite attracted by colour and colour combinations. And they can be really inspirational to actually look at tarantula colours. I just find, like, when you compare that to scorpions, they don't have this bright coloration, and I feel like there is slightly less variation. They're still really cool, but ultimately, if I had to pick, it would be tarantulas. Adding to that as well with the variety, I find it interesting that within the tarantulas, you have different behaviours. So, for example, you might have heard about the Megaphobema robustum and the cartwheel of death. So they have these little spurs or like thicker hairs on their back legs, and they can actually spread those legs out and sort of kick with them. I've never seen mine do that, although I have sort of seen her spread them out a little bit. And I just think that's so cool, because most people would just assume, ah, okay, the ones with the urticating hairs will just kick them and that's it. But, like, there are so many species with those unique sort of behaviourisms. Even like the T. celadonia, making little trapdoors, which you wouldn't really think of a tarantula doing that. So that's really, really awesome. And again, they are a big one that fits into the colourful category. And then at the opposite end of colourful, so the H. gigas. Initially, I was never drawn to them because I thought, oh, it's just a big sort of brown spider from Africa. But then, as soon as I learned that they have a unique behaviour of actually being seen to dive into water and catch fish, that instantly piqued my interest. And I've now actually ended up with two in my collection. But this is what I just find so fascinating. There's so much uniqueness, so much variety, and it's another reason why I keep so many tarantulas. I'm very much a scientist at heart, and I love being able to study them, observe them, make little notes. I make little notes about them all on my phone. It's just really, really fascinating. I also have to give a massive shout out to a Goliath Bird Eater, because how cool is it that you can literally get a tarantula that is the size of a dinner plate, and they look absolutely magnificent with the velvety sort of gloss that they've got. I honestly just think that is absolutely incredible. Like, yes, the emperor scorpions do get big, but not nearly as big as a Goliath Bird Eater. I've recently been reading a lot of spider books, and a segment of that book that really caught me was about how the study of spiders and tarantulas has helped in engineering and science. So looking at the way spiders and tarantulas move with a hydraulic system, they've actually been studying how to make more stable sort of robotic crafts that can travel on sort of planetary surfaces or in the deep sea ocean rock floors. And again, to me, that is so cool that we are taking the features and behaviours of these really prehistoric animals to inspire modern technology. Even with like jumping spiders, and I know I'm talking more about tarantulas, but the way their eyes work, like, we've developed ways to create better medical equipment and cameras based on this. And again, like, their jumping mechanism has inspired different hydraulic systems and again, springs and things like that in robotics. So I just think that is absolutely mind-blowing. And again, looking into like silk and web and how that's one of the most strongest properties when you sort of scale it up, I just find it so, yeah, just absolutely mind-blowing. And I remember reading lots of studies about how they're trying to look at making sort of bulletproof vests out of similar chemical components as spider's web or tarantula silk. And if they can actually do that, it'll be so, so tough. I need to read up more on this, but I just remember that being so fascinating. And again, just that, you know, nature can inspire us and inspire both modern medicine and modern technology. For me, that is just a massive win. And I just feel like tarantulas and spiders have contributed so much to this. And just to add, while I'm down my little scientific rabbit hole, I was reading a really interesting study about tarantula venom, and basically these scientists are trying to create pain medication, so a bit like paracetamol, for example, but with the idea that it will end like addiction to painkillers and opioids, especially as this is a huge issue in places like the US. So they're actually looking into the properties of tarantula venom and how that could help. Essentially, tarantula venom contains peptides, and these have been evolved over millions of years, as they are really primitive beings. And what we can do is we can use these and modify them to our advantage. So I'm sure there's lots of other studies out there at the moment as well, looking at the positive benefits of what we could potentially do with it. But again, it was just one of those mind-blowing moments, and I just get so excited reading about this. I could honestly go on and on about why I love tarantulas and why I have done so ever since I was 2 years old. But I'm sure you don't want to hear any more of me talking about all the cool scientific things that they've helped with and just why they are amazing fuzzy eight-legged creatures. So yeah, go Team Tarantula. I do love scorpions as well. Please don't hate me, scorpions. But yeah, thank you so much again for having me on the podcast. It's always such good fun and I'm always so excited to hear what you guys have to say, and particularly in this one, to hear what Team Scorpion have to say in their defence. But it's been really, really great fun, so thank you again.
I am trying to stay impartial, but that was great.
Is it Team Scorpion now?
Scorpion. And
oh,
we have...
Oh, it's the heavyweight.
We've got the big hitter.
I'm so glad this guy's on my side.
We reached out to his manager, who is him, and we said, would you like to come on a debate that argues tarantulas or scorpions, which is better? And actually, before Richard finished that sentence, he'd sent his argument in full.
Yeah.
So...
And his argument was longer than I waited for, which is weird.
Absolutely legend.
Just goes to show his scientific powers are unfathomable.
Yeah. Just breaking the laws of time. Time and space. So, obviously, we are talking of Hannes, which is Dishbinner. The boy for scorpions of our generation, I think. So, right, Hannes, we are sitting tightly waiting to hear what your argument is. Let's go.
Hello, lovely listeners of the One Shirt Brain Cell podcast. My name is Hannes, and Rich and Fiona asked me if I want to state some arguments why I think scorpions are superior against tarantulas when it comes to keeping and breeding them. And as I like scorpions really much, I'd love to do that. And I thought of some arguments, and I'm trying to present them here. Please keep in mind I'm not a native English speaker, so forgive me if I'm lacking vocabulary sometimes, but I'm sure Rich can cut it out. So my first argument is that I think that the biology of scorpions overall is a bit more fascinating than tarantulas. And of course, tarantulas are really diverse in their morphology, in their coloration, in their different habitats and their different microhabitats. For example, you have some arboreal ones and you have like chilobrachis and all that fossorial stuff, and in between genera and species, and some that make trapdoors and other stuff. And of course, that's pretty diverse too. But tarantulas are mainly restricted to tropical regions in the earth. Of course, we have also Mediterranean tarantulas like Catopelma or Ichnocolus. But in general, scorpions have a wider range of different habitats. For example, we can find scorpions in the Alps already, in Switzerland and Austria, like the small Alpiscorpius species, all the way through deserts when we think of some Androctonus or Leiurus that live in African deserts or in the Middle East, very arid, very hot, very not suitable for other wildlife. And this is so cool that scorpions are so adapted to special environments, that some live in mountains where it snows, like the Alps or the Andes in Andes, I don't know, South America, or the Himalaya, and some even live in really the opposite climate, in like really hot and arid deserts, and of course in rainforests and everything in between too. So scorpions have a bit of a wider range and they're a bit more hardy when it comes to habitats. The big variety of different habitats and different I would say lifestyles, so different prey items and all of that, also results in a big variety in morphology. In tarantulas, of course, we have different sizes and different colors, and some species have other morphological features like more hairs or special horns in air quotes, like Keratoglossus, for example. But all in all, the basic build of a tarantula is the same. So with scorpions, that's the case, of course, too. We have this the same ground structure, I would say. But with scorpions, we have a bigger variety. They are really big and tank-like species, like Pandinus or some of the heterometrous and ex-heterometrous species that are really thick and have big claws to crush big prey, and they are really big and thick built. There are species that have really huge and wide claws, or I should say pedipalps. Pedipalps is the scientific term for the pinchers, for the claws of the scorpion. They have really big pedipalps so that they can dig in the sand better, like Opisthotalamus, for example. There are scorpions that are really flat and thin, so they can fit in the tightest cracks in stones and walls, like Scorpiops, for example, or Hardogenes from Africa. There are scorpions which have really long and thin and filigrane pedipalps, so they can catch spiders better, for example. So there is a bigger variety in the morphology of scorpions because they are, there's a bigger variety in habitats, in my opinion. When we talk about the biology of scorpions, we can't leave out their cool reproduction cycle. Scorpions have a really different kind of mating compared to spiders. When scorpions mate, the male usually finds the female and grabs her by the pedipalps, and then the, in air quotes, mating dance begins. This varies much from species to species or genus to genus, but in some species the male stings the female, so she is a bit more calm and ready to mate, and then they look like they are dancing and turning around move together holding each other's pedipalps, and that looks really interesting. And the male does that to find the right surface to put down his spermatophore. A spermatophore is a construct of chitin and sperm. And the male puts this construct on the white surface. Most of the time, these are flat stones or a piece of bark. And then he pulls the female over the spermatophore. So she inserts the sperm by getting pulled over this construct. And that's how scorpions mate. And that's, in my opinion, a bit more fascinating than just the classic way like most spiders do it. So the mating alone is a bit special and interesting, but also the whole reproduction itself. Scorpions are life-bearing. They don't lay eggs, or they don't produce XX. So they are gravid for, sometimes quite a long time. It varies from species to species between a few months, but it can also take longer than a year, for example, if the conditions are not all right. The female can extend this period of gravity. And afterwards, after after being gravid, the babies are born, and they climb on their mother's back. And in this first stage, you can maybe compare it to the larva stage of some tarantulas. The scorpions, they don't eat and they cannot sting, and they look kind of like scorpions, but they are not real scorpions at the moment. So they are quite helpless and are depending on their mother, and they sit on their mother's back for quite a time. It depends on species to species, genus to genus again, how long. But the mother scorpions carry their babies around, and if a baby falls down, they gently pick it up and put it on their back, and they search the right spot for temperature and humidity. And so it's really cool to see this maternal care in inverts. And when you think of arachnids, you don't really think of good mothers, but with scorpions, if you ever see a scorpion female protecting her babies and picking a baby that's fallen down up again, it's really cool to see. And of course, tarantulas, they have this maternal care behavior sometimes too, but it's mainly just guarding the sac, and then it's they don't care anymore. My second argument is that with scorpions, you can keep them communally. Of course, not every scorpion, and not the majority of scorpions, of course, too. But it works way better than in tarantulas. In tarantulas, we have the myths of some species being able to keep communally, like Modocentropus balfouri, but actually I think there are no records that prove that they live in colonies in nature too. They just tolerate each other really good, and maybe that's the case for some scorpions too, but in some scorpion species you can find a lot of them under the same height in nature too. So with scorpions it's possible with more species to keep communals that are actually working and not just getting less and less individuals over the time. And then with tarantulas. I think with tarantulas you can do that with Modocentropus balfouri, maybe a few Prytzeloteria, and maybe something else a bit for a while. But there will be losses. Of course, that happens in scorpions too. But there are quite a lot of scorpion species that tolerate each other really good at adult stages, and also some that you can keep in the colony, mostly the pathogenic ones like Leochelys or Tytius, some species of Tytius that works great. So if you want to keep some arachnids communally, scorpions, not all scorpions, of course, do your research before you do communals, but there are some great communal species in scorpions. Another point from the keeping perspective is the price of scorpions. For sure there are some cheap tarantulas and there are some expensive scorpions, but in general scorpions are a lot cheaper than many of the tarantula species, and they're better, easier to afford. You don't have to spend like £100, $100, €100, whatever your currency is, on a sling. Most of scorpion offspring, when they are still small, are between like 5 and, 10, €15. Even for the more rarer species, they are more like 15 to maximum of €30, I would say. And adults are not mega expensive too. So you save a bit of money if you're having a scorpion collection and not a tarantula collection. It always depends on the species, of course, as always. But in general, I would say scorpions are cheaper than tarantulas. Even when you think of when you think of feeding, maybe scorpions they don't need much food. Of course tarantulas don't need much food either, so that argument is maybe a bit dumb, but in my experience, depending on the scorpion species, scorpions are in general they eat a bit less than the average spider, I would say. But when I think about it, yeah, maybe that's not a good argument for the scorpions, because tarantulas are pretty much the same. They don't need food so much, so forget about that. What else do we have? I think scorpions are easy to handle and to rehouse, easier than tarantulas because they can't climb smooth surfaces and are not the fastest. There are some faster species, but I would say they are not as fast and not as... they can't move as a tarantula does. They just can, they seem like they're a bit clumsy, you know. So scorpions can't climb smooth surfaces. They they can't jump or do anything like that. And if you handle them with a big tweezer and grab them by the last metasoma segment, you are pretty safe. Even if it's a highly venomous species or a species with really potent venom, the risk is really, really low of getting in an accident or losing the scorpion, because they can't climb smooth surfaces. And if you grab them by the tailson with a tweezer or a tong or however you call it, you are pretty safe and the scorpion can't escape, run away, or jump. Another cool point is that scorpions have a really fascinating hunting behavior. Some just sit there and wait with their pedipalps looking out of the burrow. Some actively run around at night and search for food. And if they sense something, they go after it and grab it, and they it's, of course, as I said it like 10 times before, depending on the species, but Yeah, scorpions are really good with finding the smooth, the weak spot in a cricket or in a roach, for example. They don't sting just anywhere. They sting between the exoskeletons, where the I don't know the English word, the pleural skin, I think, if roughly translated from German, but the weak and the smooth spot in roaches and stuff like that. So they were really precise with their stinger, and it's really cool to watch scorpions hunt and eat. Yeah, that's maybe not everyone's point of view, but I think it's cooler to watch that as a tarantula just jumping on it and biting it, and scorpions, they grab it, they sting it, and you can see how the venom works in the animal. And some scorpions even just sting it, leave it alone, and hold it far away from their body so they can't be hurt by the roach or the cricket or whatever, and just wait till the venom kicks in. And that's really interesting to watch. One of my most important arguments why I like scorpions so much is that the offspring size is really manageable. In most scorpion species in the trade, you have clutch sizes of or birth sizes of, I would say, 10, maybe 15, 15 to 30 babies. And comparing that to some eggs of some spiders or some tarantulas, that's not so much. So you can easily focus on raising them, and you don't drown in babies. You can easily sell them or just keep them for a while, so you don't get in trouble with too much cubs and too much time being gone because of you have too many babies. There are some scorpions that have clutches with over 100 babies in them, but I would say that's more of a rare sight. In most species in the trade, around 30, maybe 40 if you're lucky, but manageable offspring sizes. That's one good argument for keeping and breeding scorpions too. My last argument would be that the scorpion hobby is still quite small compared to the tarantula hobby, so there's more more space to conquer new species, to be the first one to breed a certain species, to get more species in the hobby, to explore a bit of an undiscovered site. You know, with tarantulas, it's done in such a big quantity, and everybody does it. That in scorpions, it's a bit more interesting because you can be the first person more easy that achieves something like first bred or first kept in the hobby more easier than with tarantulas. Of course, you shouldn't have that as your only goal in the hobby, to be the first one to do it. But I think it can be quite interesting to explore new fields of the hobby. I think these are all my arguments. I hope I didn't stutter too much. And if yes, Rich, please cut that out. I hope this works out fine, and it's not better than not worse than the other parts of your other mates. Have fun cutting it, and I will enjoy being on your podcast in the future again soon.
I said it before, but I'm so glad that guy's on my side.
Well, thank you, Hannes. That was jam-packed full of passion and information. Our final guest, bringing up the rear. No?
Bringing up
the spinnerets.
I know what you're trying to do. I'll support you in it. Keep going.
Thank you.
You can do it, Rich. We believe in you.
Yes, it's the vibe. Loading the cannon and touching the... Oh, fucking hell. I'm just going to say it's...
Touching the cloth. You're doing great, sweetie.
Bringing it home for Team Tarantula, the fantastic Lee of Spooky_Bear. Two O's are two zeros.
I'm ready. Let's hear
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, it's Lee from Spooky Bear on Instagram. Tarantulas loads better than scorpions, mainly because Tarantulas have a wonderful advent of being very, very, very simple creatures to keep that don't require supplemental heat or sort of like a moist side and a dry side. When I was researching keeping, I think it was Asian forest scorpion, way back when I was looking at brash cats, different types of invertebrates, I found out that they need supplemental heat, like a heat mat, and like a moist side and a dry side, and like two different hides. And I was kind of like, this doesn't seem as sort of simple as tarantulas. And plus, as well, I know there's a lot of like, there's a great deal of variety with scorpions. You know, you've got your bark scorpions, you've got your rock scorpions, you've got your forest scorpions, you've got your tailless whip scorpions, all this. But with tarantulas, there is so much variance in looks, in lifestyle, just so many different colours out there, loads of different genera. There's so much to the tarantula hobby, in my opinion, and that I feel you just don't really get with scorps, to be fair. And I will say, you know, scorpions are amazing creatures. I do love a Pandinus imperator. I love them. They're amazing creatures, Heterometrus species. Amazing. But for me, you can't beat a good Harpactera or a good Torino Kylus or a good, you know, Kilo Brachys or a big Theraphosa, the massive, huge Goliath birds, iconic tarantulas, Brachypelma hormoria, iconic spiders, poster child for the hobby. And amazing to have these sort of living legends in your collection. There's just something, just in my opinion, just so much cooler about tarantulas than there is with scorpions. So that is my opinion.
Well, I'm back on Team Tarantula now, so suck it.
I don't think you ever really left.
I just like listening to people.
You flirted with the enemy, realised where your bed of roses was being maneuvered or something.
Two things. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Your command of the English language is just masterful.
It's been a long day.
So, what's your opinions, guys? Have your opinions changed?
I think we've heard some very, very persuasive arguments, both scientific and passionate, both full of feeling and facts.
Yeah.
So what about you two? Have your instincts or thoughts changed?
I'm sticking to my guns.
I do love scorpions, but I think my excitement from them comes because I don't keep them. So when I see them display some sort of cool behaviour, I'm like, oh my god, it's amazing, but it's because I don't see it often. So, like, recently when I had that tarantula, I had that scorpion from that rescue, it was digging and it was using its tail to flick out the sand from the hide I gave it. And I was like, this is amazing! I want to keep 1,000 scorpions! And then actually I reflected and I didn't actually want to keep 1,000 scorpions. I was just like, I've never seen that before. It's kind of like when you catch a tarantula digging and you see like a ball of dirt in its pedipalps and it flicks it out and you're just like, oh, that is the best thing I've ever seen. It's so cute.
I think you're right. There is an element of scorpions being amazing because we don't keep them really. We don't really keep them. It's like they're sort of like not a novelty, but they're a fascination because every time we see them, it's almost a novel experience seeing one. Yeah.
And I don't keep either. I think tarantulas are great. I think they're fantastic. But there's something with scorpions where I see them and my brain just immediately goes into Steve Irwin mode and it just goes, crikey!
They are incredible animals. They're little tanks.
They just think they're great.
Yeah.
They're just little... God, they're just little fuckers.
Who is the most fun, then? If you're going to go for a night out, a couple of beers, curry afterwards...
I think scorpions are mean drunks.
I think scorpions, sorry Hannes, I think scorpions drink Stella.
Yeah. Oh. Got a gold chain.
Yeah. Little vest. Oh, I'm gonna draw it.
Yeah.
We don't have a Patreon, but if you'd like to see this image drawn, we can always set one up.
Just ask.
We might as well start making something out of this.
I drew a picture once to annoy people and it was a Mexican red hair with the wrong scientific name on it. It was the greatest joy of my life. And Dave the Tory Fly, remember him?
Dave
the Tory Fly.
Yeah. so I think it's I think it's a debate that can never actually be won.
No, I think it can. It's tarantulas.
Is it? Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, bye.
I think it has to be tarantulas purely for the fact that you had two more people discuss tarantulas than you did scorpions.
I also would like to say we shall be posting a fun poll on our Instagram.
Yes.
Where you can vote for either Team Tarantula, yay, or apparently Team Scorpion or something.
Hey!
So yes, have a vote, see what you say, and we will be seeing who is the most popular, Team Tarantula or Team Scorpion. Would you like to either A, talk about something you don't like in the hobby, or would you like to perhaps talk about an account or keeper of that you would like to celebrate?
I tell you what I like, what Fiona likes. I've been to a couple of zoos recently that had reptiles in, and their care was really, really wonderful. So I'm a bit iffy on the tarantula one, but you know when you see an enclosure and you're like, that's not quite how I would do it, but there actually isn't anything wrong with this. That's what the tarantula enclosure was like. But we went to Newquay Zoo, and they...
Did you get any pictures?
I did get loads. We'll post a few. And they had some just beautiful enclosures for their reptiles. Even as recent as like 5 or 6 years ago, you could go to a zoo and be like, oh, no. I remember going to a zoo.
Do you think that's the case for all animals? Or do you think it was the... Did they have any animals kept well? Or do you think it was just the more sort of rare, rare exotic ones that perhaps are now more prevalent in a hobby than the... Because you go to most zoos and you see some roughly the similar sort of animals, but were they all kept badly or just the sort of more exotic ones?
I should find it the other way round. The more common ones are kept worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I think it's because they cost less.
Okay.
That possibly their care is a little less finicky. Mm. I did go to a zoo. I can't remember which one it was, but they had a Gila monster. And the enclosure was set up like a room, like a dining room. And I couldn't see any hides. I couldn't see... And like, Gila monsters don't have, like, long legs or anything. And, like, all the enriching things, like, that were, like, chairs and stools and things were, like, too high off the ground and things like that. And there was no, like, purchase for it to like climb up to the chair or anything like that, and I just thought, and this little lizard, I felt so bad for it, was just lying in the middle of it on the floor and just wasn't like, just didn't seem very happy. And then like opposite it there was like an alligator enclosure or I think it was alligators because they're smaller, right? Anyway, and again, very small enclosure, but that was a while ago. But then yeah, I went to Newquay Zoo a couple weeks ago. And the enclosures for the reptiles were lovely. And what I did like about Newquay Zoo was that all their animals... that's not true. They had penguins and they did have some big cats as well, which I don't really agree with zoos keeping them, because I don't believe you can have a habitat that's big enough for them. But things like lemurs and that, like, their enclosures were lovely. Like, there was so much room for climbing and it was, like, engaging and stuff like that. And, yeah, it was really interesting. But yes, anyway, the reptile enclosures were great and I was really impressed, and it was actually really nice. Because whenever I go to a zoo, the first thing I want to know is there a bug house? Are there reptiles? And I just want to go straight there and have a look. And they only had one tarantula, which is a T-elbow. And the enclosure wasn't bad, but it also wasn't how I would do it. It kind of seemed like... they just had this little space and they were like, what can we put in there? Tarantula perfect, let's do that. But yeah, the reptiles were in lovely enclosures, particularly the geckos. They were amazing.
Nelly, our weird dot wild top Nelly, she went to a zoo recently, or a wildlife park. She saw a scorpion that was being kept incredibly badly. It was out during the day because it had no hide.
Oh, God.
Completely inappropriate... enclosure. So she emailed the zoo and said, are you sure this is being kept properly? And they came back and made some terrible excuse about, we've got experts. And she was like, are you sure? And then they came back again and said, yeah, okay, maybe, thanks for bringing it to our attention. If you've got any advice on how it should be kept, let us know. which I think is like, to, and also just don't have a bloody animal if you don't have, don't wait for someone to come in that knows how to keep a scorpion to say, that's how you keep a scorpion.
I feel like if you're going to have a zoo, you should have a member of staff who is a specialist in every animal that you have at the zoo.
Yeah. They did try to say that there are specialists for every type of animal, but obviously there wasn't. No hide, nowhere for it to hide at all.
Because they don't expect arguments like that to come from the general public.
Yes.
They don't, like... What's so frustrating as well is just give it a hide. Any animal wants to feel... Like, this bothers me, right? Is it doesn't matter what animal you've got. There is no animal on earth that doesn't benefit from safety and a place of rest. To the best of my knowledge, there is no animal on earth that just stops dead and that's where it rests and feels safe to do that. Just put a bit of fucking cork bark in there.
Yeah. Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking it's very much like you in the tarantula. They're not expensive, didn't take up a lot of space. It was almost like an afterthought.
Mm.
We've got this enclosure, let's chuck a scorpion in it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's pretty shocking, really. You should go to any zoo or anywhere that keeps animals and come away thinking you've seen exactly how they should be kept.
Mm. I'm just thinking about, like, zoos. I haven't been to a zoo in, like, a couple of years. I think the last time I went to was London Zoo. It's not... From what I remember, they had a fairly decent reptile house. But, I mean, it's not reptiles or tarantulas or anything, but their lemur walkthrough is very fun.
Oh, that sounds cool. So you actually walk into...
Yeah, they're just running around. Like,
oh, that sounds quite cool.
Getting in your way. It was cool. And then I always remember, is Chester Zoo the one that had the bat house? It was just like a big warehouse that was pitch black and you walked through it and the bats were swooping about.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I always remember that.
Well, so we shall be posting the poll, tarantulas versus scorpions. Come and vote. We'll see what everyone thinks.
Mm.
And we'll see how many Team Scorpion loses by.
Hey,
Hey.
Either of you two have anything you'd like to... Do you know what really bugs me? You know when you watch a lot of social media?
Mm.
I get really annoyed and disappointed by things I see. This is my mini rant now.
Okay.
First thing is, people that don't look into the camera lens when they're on... when they're talking to you, you can see them looking at the monitor on the side.
Mm.
I find that really off-putting. It's like they're talking to someone behind me.
Mm.
The second is horrible phrase du jour, deep dive, and iceberg. Those things really bug me.
Circle back. Touch base.
Put
a pin in
horrendous.
It.
Put a pin in it. That's a good one.
Those are terrible. And people that say the same things because they've seen other content creators doing it, I thought I'd bring you guys with me. And then,
get ready with me.
Yeah, yes, and I'll bring you guys back when I get there. Mm. And people that... I know a lot of people do it. They tap the camera lens to go to the next scene. Be more original. Everyone does it. But it's just... I love the accounts that don't do it. So, yeah. People go like, yeah, so, yeah, I'll bring you guys back when I get there. It's like...
Bringing you guys back now we're here.
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of doing a funny conversation. We thought we'd bring you guys with us.
Now we're circling back and touching base.
Yes.
Taking the pin out of that one.
We've had a deep dive into the world of pets.
And it's only the tip of the iceberg.
It really is. We've literally just covered every...
Get ready with me while I record a podcast with my friends.
And me.
They are yet to arrive. Anyway, on that pleasant note...
Yes.
I'm going to draw this week's podcast to an official close. Would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye.